Hey you guys, welcome back to another episode of This Expat Life. The topic for today is maybe not the sexiest one, but it's one that has been on my mind for a long time now, for at least, I would say, 9 months. We're in May now. And I see it all the time coming back in my own life, as well as in the lives of my coaches and other people that I work with. And so I thought it would be good to discuss this topic a little bit more on the podcast, because I'm sure that if you are a regular listener of This Expat Life and you're this high-achieving, self-reliant expat or globetrotter, then I bet that you also recognize the thing that I'm going to talk about today. And becoming aware of this topic in my life and shifting it in a way has really helped me to go through life a bit lighter, more in alignment with who I really am, and just more in a positive way. So that's why I want to open up space for it today as well and provide you with some tips so that you might experience a similar shift in your life. So what am I talking about? It is a belief of that you need to work hard. And when you hear this from me, you might be like, oh, but I don't have that. I'm perfectly fine with my life. I take a lot of rest. I work hard, play hard. I'm totally in balance. But I'm here to tell you that this belief might actually be more present in your life than you realize. Because often what happens with our own limiting beliefs is that we don't really recognize them as such. They are in our subconscious part, not in our conscious thinking. So we're not truly aware of the beliefs that drive our thoughts. But more about that later. If you are that high-achieving expat, you probably also put a lot of effort into your work. And not just into your career, but also in your personal life. So you're probably someone who sets goals for themselves, health goals or some other personal goals, studies you want to do, habits you want to adopt, places you want to have lived. Like, you make it happen if you want something. And while this might not always lead to the results that you want, you do put a lot of effort in trying to get there. And like I said, if you recognize yourself in that profile, you might have this inner belief that you need to work hard for things in you as well. But before I dive deeper into that, I just first want to share a story with you to show you how it shows up for me. So for a long time in my life, I never saw myself as a high achiever or as a perfectionist. I still don't see myself as a perfectionist, by the way. I just saw myself as a regular student, a regular employee. I didn't think that I was very ambitious. I had some ambitions, but I never wanted to be the best in anything or wanted to reach the top. Even when I was working at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I never really had the ambition to become an ambassador or to have as many promotions as I could in the next couple of years. I was always more focused on what do I enjoy doing and where do I see myself in the next 2 years, mostly in what country and doing a job that I like. And also in my results, I wasn't the best. So my grades at school were okay. They were definitely good enough. I was always maybe in the upper part of the mid-range. In the Netherlands, we scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, the absolute best. And I was always around 6.5 to 8.5. So, you know, fine enough. Never really failed, but also never really reached that top. And I think it was the same as a diplomat. You know, I was good at what I was doing, but I wasn't that exceptional diplomat, if I'm really honest. That may also have to do with the fact that I wasn't at the right place, because I think I'm more suitable as an entrepreneur and coach. But that's another story. So I never really saw myself as someone who was super ambitious, working super hard to get to the top. No, I was just doing my thing and trying to enjoy life. But when I did my first coaching training, I did 2 trainings of 9 months each. And when I did the first one, that was like the deep dive into myself. I learned so much about myself. It was really amazing. This is why I love coaching as well. And one of the things that I learned about myself is that I actually do have high standards for myself. So while I am not a perfectionist, I never aim for 100% perfection, also because I believe that slows you down in action. I did have really high standards for myself, but I wasn't aware of it. So if I bring it back to an analogy, if 1 to 10 is the range, in the Netherlands you need a 5.5 to pass a test. Now, maybe in the beginning at high school, you know, I was 5.5, 6, would be fine for me. I didn't really put so much work in back then. But slowly, I started raising the bar a bit higher. And like I said, I never really aimed for that 10, but I was always aiming for a 7 at least, or 8, even better. I did that unconsciously with so many other things in my life as well. So when I would get a task at the ministry or at the embassy in Brazil, I really wanted to deliver something good. And what I realized in the coaching training was not that I was driven by perfectionism, wanting to go for that 100%. A lot of people are, by the way, but because of fear of failing, and not because I would fail and I would, you know, be humiliated or something, but I had and still have a deep-rooted fear that I am not good enough. And this is linked to my childhood, growing up with a father who was overly critical of whatever I was doing, but not in a way that I should aim higher, but just in a not nice critical way. So I always wanted to, again, subconsciously, I wasn't aware of this at all. I always wanted to avoid being not good enough, to avoid verbal punishment, basically. And so subconsciously, I raised the bar pretty high for myself. So whereas a 5.5, you know, would be okay to pass things in life, I automatically set mine to at least 7, because then I will be out of the fear zone. And this was the first time that I really started to learn this about myself. And this was so powerful, because the moment I learned this, I started seeing it everywhere in my life and I was able to work with it. So every time I felt pressure on something, like the coaching exam that we had, like that was such a scary moment for me, because we had to coach in the group in front of everyone. And I was so terrified of that, because what if I don't pass the test? Again, there was such a strong fear driving me to aim higher. So it wasn't like I was pulled by perfectionism from the top. If you see this on YouTube, you can see me doing the thing. But it was more driven from fear, from not reaching the minimum standard that I needed to have. And so this fear was present in my life a lot. And when I realized that it was driven by something that I picked up in my childhood, I could see myself with more ease, with more empathy, and I could slowly by slowly relax in the fear and trust that I was going to be fine, even if I were to fail the test. But of course I didn't. I passed the test. So that was my first game-changing insight about that I have a sort of tendency that I need to work hard. So it's really driven by fear in this case, but my reaction to it is that I just work harder and harder to make sure that I meet the standards. And I happily lived on my life. And then last summer, or autumn really, I started realizing that there was another layer to it. Another layer to working hard. So I think it was in the beginning of August that I decided to move to Rio. My heart just got broken. I was so incredibly sad. And I was talking to a friend on the phone and I said, it doesn't matter what I do. Every time that I think I have solid ground beneath my feet here in The Hague, my world comes crashing down again and I'm in a free fall. So by that time, I had been in the Netherlands for 3 years after having lived in Brazil. And in those 3 years, a lot of bad things happened. Now, I recorded some episodes about that, but both my parents passed away. My grandma passed away. I was in 2 really painful breakups. There was a pandemic going on. So those 3 years were really painful. And when I expressed these feelings to my friend, it only took me 4 extra days to realize, you know what? I am not happy at the moment here in The Hague. I've really given it a try. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to move to Rio. So in those 4 days, pretty quickly, I had taken the decision to move to Rio. I announced it here on the podcast, on Instagram, and I was feeling pretty certain about it. But 2 months later, I still hadn't booked my ticket. So I was wondering, what is going on here? And what it turned out was that there was a small part in me, a very small voice inside of me that said, no, you're not allowed to go to Rio because you haven't earned it yet. And when I became aware of that voice through conversations with other friends and some coaching that I got, I realized that this was another voice that was representing a deeper belief of, I need to work hard to make it. Or to have something. Now, I'm not entirely sure if that belief is the same as the one I just mentioned before, or maybe it is because I was so used to working hard from an early age on that I adopted it as a second belief that I always need to work hard. I don't know. but something inside of me told me that I hadn't earned it yet. And this was the whole reason why I stalled in buying my ticket to Rio. And even though I was telling everyone that I was going to Rio, it wasn't 100% happily. It wasn't 100% exciting anticipation. It was maybe 70-80%. And the other 20-30% was this voice that said, yeah, you're going, but this is a mistake. You're not allowed to make this decision. You need to listen to me. This voice was pretty strong. And after some self-coaching, I realized that apparently I have this belief that I can only have a treat if I have worked hard for it, if I deserve it. And Rio obviously was a very, very big treat. And I hadn't earned it because at that time, my business wasn't as flowing as I had hoped it would be. I was doing fine enough, but it wasn't like, ooh, I'm doing so well that now I can take a risk and move to another country. I still hadn't reached that level. So in my subconscious mind, that was all a reason why I wasn't allowed to go to Rio. Because first I would need to prove in a way that I could reach that level to then have the treat that comes with it. And I just couldn't shake it off of me until I became aware of it. It was such a strong inner voice that was telling me, no, you haven't earned it. No, you're not allowed to go. You're going to waste your money. You're going to waste your business. You first need to show that you can make it happen and then you can take the risk. Now, this required some really strong convincing on my side, of myself, to make me believe that I was worthy of this decision of going to Rio and of just enjoying some time in Rio. Which is kind of stupid if you look at it from an outsider's perspective, because I was able to afford it. I did have the financial means. I had a solution for my cats. You know, all the other practical reasons that I thought of in my brain were all non-arguments, really, because I had a solution for them. And if you are to think about it, like if you want to do something just for the sake of it and you're not doing any harm to other people or to the planet or to whatever, then why not do it? But so many of us, and myself included at that time, often think, no, I'm not allowed to just enjoy it for fun or just for the sake of it or just because I want it. There needs to be a better reason or I need to earn it first. But we are not here on earth just to work hard and to earn things. If you want to do something that lights up your soul, then that should be reason enough to go for it. And that took me some time to really accept that, and not only at a rational level, because it's easy to tell yourself, no, you know, just get over yourself. You're totally allowed to have this. Financially, it's okay. Practically, it's okay. So why not enjoy it? Rationally, I could accept that, but it took me a bit longer to accept it more at an emotional level as well. And when I finally did, then I was really able to relax into it and to say with 100% conviction how happy I was that I was going to Rio. But this thing of like, I need to earn it first is linked to this deeper belief of I need to work hard in life or to have something. I still don't fully know what it is about, but this I need to work hard was really strongly present in me and still is at times. But how it shows up for me is not the only way. It can show up in other ways as well. I see it all the time with my coachees, for example. So I was coaching this really smart, powerful, results-driven, independent, self-reliant, amazing woman who I loved coaching. And she was really a rock star at work because she was really able to take responsibility, to get results, to take care of the team as well. But she came to me at a moment that she was really annoyed and frustrated at work because she actually had a manager above her, but he was slacking. And so how that ended up for her was that she was picking up all the tasks that he didn't do, including the task at his level, like seeing a vision and mapping out a strategy to get there and taking care of the team. That should be really be also the role for the manager, not just like an equal member of the team. And so she was doing all those things, but at the same time, she was very respectful of the hierarchy. She didn't want to overstep their boundaries. And she was just working harder and harder and becoming so frustrated about it. And when we dove deeper into this with one-on-one coaching, we realized that actually it was very linked to how she grew up. And just a little side note, so many of the things that we do, how we approach life, how we approach people, our jobs, is a reflection of what we learned in our childhood. Especially from age 0 to 7, we are like sponges. We absorb everything that we see, hear, and experience around us, and we take that as the truth. So if your parents always said that you need to work hard, or that you need to strive to perfection, or that rich people are bad, you pick that up and you take that subconsciously as a truth. And this is not always in a verbal way. If you see your dad working hard all the time and coming home exhausted, but then he says, but I need to pay the bills, this is also what you pick up on then as well. We translate those experiences into beliefs about ourselves, about the world, or about other people. And these beliefs drive our thoughts create our feelings drive our actions, and our reactions determines our reality. So in the case of my coachee, what we saw happening was that she grew up in a family with a father who was ill and he couldn't really take care of the family. So her mom tried to take care of everything, including work and the family. And my coachee had 3 brothers. So all the attention went mostly to taking care of the father and also of the 3 brothers. And my coachee was the eldest. And so her role, what she learned or what she picked up, was that she needed to assist her mother, work hard to make sure that everything continues as business as usual and that she doesn't cause any extra trouble. So in this work situation, it was almost the same. Like, there was a team with a manager who wasn't really doing what he was supposed to be doing. And so she subconsciously jumped back into her pattern of, okay, I'll make sure that everything keeps running and I'll just work harder to ensure that level, while also not creating a fuss about it because my manager is still my manager. So I cannot overstep his boundaries. So she was also stuck in this pattern of, I need to work harder to, in this case, ensure that everything keeps running. Now, and this is one way of how this belief, like of I need to work hard, or this pattern, can show up in your life. That you just take up all the responsibility at work because you see that other people are slacking and they're not doing it. By the way, this coachee is not the only one. I've had several since in my coaching program that had the same issue. They saw the work that needed to be done, and they also saw how other people weren't able or just weren't picking up the task. So they did it. So they started working harder. This was what they learned in life somewhere, and this is what they then also do in their job. Another way of how this can show up in your life, and I was also guilty of this, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, I guess, is that you are not able to wind down during the weekends. You just want to stay busy. Like, it's really hard for you to just sit on the couch and read a book for 2 hours or to do nothing. That is probably even harder. So I used to be that person that would work hard, and I would also play hard, you know, at night. I would always go out with friends and stuff like that. But then on the weekends, I couldn't fully relax. I always felt like this tension in my body that if I were to give that a voice, would say, I need to do something, I need to do something. So I was always busy, either prepping all my meals for the week, or taking a photography course and going out with my camera, or starting a side hustle, or reading a book that was good for my development, not for fun, but really because it helped me with something. So it was really hard for me to just sit down and do nothing and to just relax. And the times that I was able to do that, I wasn't fully relaxed because a part of me felt guilty for like wasting my time. And again, I wasn't super aware of this until, you know, I did some coaching on this. And I also became aware of more tension in my body and a sense of like, but I don't want this anymore. I want to relax more during the weekend because during the week, there's already enough for me to do. So that is another way, in my eyes, of how this belief of I need to work hard can show up in your life. Because if you believe that, then it's really hard for you to not work hard, to do nothing really, and to just relax. It doesn't align with the deeper belief you have about yourself. You have this need to always be productive, to deliver something. And maybe seeing it also in terms of relationships, this belief can also show up. So if you find yourself in relationships all the time where you feel like you are doing all the work, you're always the one making sure that you guys meet, or that you make sure that everything in the family runs, or in a different way, if you find yourself repeatedly in a relationship that just feels difficult, that makes you feel it is hard work, then this belief could also be present. I'm not saying that it is, but it could be present. Again, I also had this myself. So I somewhere learned in my life that love isn't easy, love is hard work. And so I subconsciously also created that outer reality that matched with that for myself. So I often found myself in relationships that were hard work for me, either because it was just like a difficult kind of relationship, or I felt I was always the one adjusting to the other person. The other person, for example, wanted to take his time, and I would adjust my own tempo, even though I had clear wishes of how I wanted a relationship to be. I felt I needed to be the one working slightly harder than the other person. Again, this is totally subconscious. This is not my conscious thinking, obviously, because as a conscious person, I'd be like, why would you agree to that? You deserve way better. So this is just another way of how this belief of I need to work hard can show up in your life. And the last one, but I kind of already mentioned it in my own example at the beginning, is allowing yourself something fun or something big just for the sake of it. So many of us, and I keep talking to so many in my coaching, on discovery calls, in my group programs, they have these dreams of what they want to do, or like these little feelings of, ooh, I would love to have that one day, or try that, or be that. And then they don't allow themselves that because, and then follows a list of reasons, because they just can't do that for the sake of it, right? This is a good example. I have someone in my coaching group who just made a big purchase, and she finds it really hard to express her happiness around it to other people. Because she told us, I was just lucky. It wasn't like this was the result of me making a really big move or find a good strategy or do a lot of research. We were just really lucky. And this is when I challenged her as well. Can you also allow yourself to be lucky? Does it always need to be hard work? And she told me that I was right, that she kind of had this belief of that it needs to be hard work, otherwise it doesn't count for anything. And in her upbringing, there was a lot of focus on doing the hard work and striving for the best. And so how she was brought up, now that she received this luck and was able to do something with it, it wasn't valid in her subconscious eyes. Because she thought, but I didn't work hard for it, so it doesn't count. So again, this belief can show up in your life when you think things like, it doesn't count, I didn't work hard for it, I can't just have it for the sake of it, I need to earn it first. And this can manifest itself in a wide variety of things, from going on a sabbatical to buying a home, or from treating yourself to something nice, like a solo holiday away from your family, to, I don't know, you can think of anything really. And I mentioned a couple of times in these examples already of how this belief can be linked to your upbringing. As an example, if your father was always focused on your achievements at school and everything that wasn't like the top wasn't good enough, then you learn also that you need to work hard, that you need to strive for perfection. There are also other ways. If your parents were too busy with themselves or with something going on in the family, you learned that you couldn't really bother them because there was no space for your emotions or your requests. And so what you learn then is that you rely more on yourself and you just work harder on your own to make sure that you're not a bother to anyone. This was also part of my case. The things that we pick up as our beliefs are often tied to how we see our worth or how we learn to gain love. Now, this is too big a topic for this current episode, but it's definitely great to dive into it a little bit more if you are interested in it. Because, again, the things that we learn in our early childhood that we see and experience and hear around us really create our beliefs, and these beliefs have us in their power. And once you can become aware of that, you can see when those beliefs aren't serving you anymore. So they served you as a kid. It made you survive in a way, even in a very subtle way. But right now as an adult, it may not serve you anymore. So this is really powerful if you want to change something about your life, to really go into your deep limiting beliefs that you picked on as a child. And coaching is one way to help you identify your limiting beliefs. Now, these limiting beliefs and everything you learned in your childhood and how it still may show up in your adult life aren't necessarily bad all the time. I'm also not saying that if you work hard all the time that you have a belief that you need to work hard and that these beliefs were created in your childhood. I'm just giving some examples of what I've been seeing in my own coaching practice and in my own life. But even if you really recognize yourself in all the examples that I gave and you think that, ooh, maybe I have this belief as well, it is not necessarily bad. This belief is also giving you a lot. You probably achieved a lot in your work or in your personal life, or you're thriving as an expat because you are that hardworking, self-reliant, high-achieving person that gets things done. The gold is really in finding out when this belief or this pattern or this habit or behavior isn't fully serving you and maybe even hurting you. So to give you an example, last autumn, just after I decided, okay, I'm going to Rio, but I wasn't really in the best flow state. You know, I was really suffering from this heartbreak. I was really struggling with the autumn that had very suddenly arrived in the Netherlands. And I'm a person who adores the sun. And I just wasn't in my best state. I felt very stuck in The Hague and I wasn't fully thriving the way that I know I can be. And what I subconsciously started doing, but I saw that only a couple of weeks or maybe 2 months in, was that I started working harder. Things aren't working out in my favor. I'm not meeting the results that I hope to get, whether that was for my business or my personal life or just how I felt. My answer to that was, okay, I'll just work harder and then it will work out for me. Spoiler alert, it doesn't work that way. The response of I'll just work harder doesn't work always. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you need an extra push. Sometimes you do need to get over your own fears and just work harder and just make it happen. Or sometimes it's just like, you know, there are cycles in your life. Not everything is a steady flow or a line. And sometimes you work harder and sometimes you can relax more. But very often this response of I just need to work harder isn't the way. This is a very sort of masculine energy approach to trying to control something in your life. Whereas we need to learn that we can also relax into it, let go of the control, and just see what happens. And I realized that in my own way, that autumn I was ill every 2 to 3 weeks. Every 2 to 3 weeks I had another cold, another virus, something with my stomach, I had the flu, which I never really have. So at some point I realized, you know what, maybe I need to take some more rest because my mind is so strong and it can totally overrule my body. But weeks in, at some point, maybe I do need to listen to the signals of my body. Being ill every 2 to 3 weeks really was a sign for me that something wasn't balanced. And yes, autumn is also like the virus season, so it's normal that things go around. But for me, it isn't normal that I had it so often and that I couldn't really fully recover from it. Maybe it was actually the same virus and I just struggled with it for, I don't know, like 10 weeks in a row. But I took it as a sign like, okay, I need to change my approach. This isn't working. One of my coaches also came in because he realized himself that his response of working harder also wasn't working out for him. So he finds himself in the same position every year. He has his own company and there are certain peak moments in the year and he gives everything and everything. And then the moment after those deadlines, he's completely dead. He gets ill, he's tired. And he realized that this is not something that he wants to continue having. But he also really struggled with letting go of that response. So he was working harder every time. And not just at work, but also in his private life. He took all the responsibility for the family, for the finances, for where they were living, because he was the only one that spoke the language. But he also had this natural tendency of like, I'll take on that responsibility to make sure other people are okay. So he also saw on time, okay, something in my approach isn't working because I keep finding myself in a place where I don't want to be after those deadlines and something needs to change. In my case and in his case, I think we were both there really on time, but I can imagine, and actually this is something that I've experienced as well, is that if you don't see this tendency on time, it might evolve into something worse, like burnout, for example. When I was living in London, I was at a job, and I spoke about this job before, I think, on the podcast, and I had a weekly deadline on Tuesdays, and I really felt this inner belief of I'm not good enough knocking on my door every Sunday morning. Actually, already way before, but on Sunday morning, it was really bad. I woke up feeling so stressed. I went to a cafe to work somewhere just ahead so I could meet my deadlines on Tuesdays. Sunday evenings, I was in tears because I felt so scared of going into the new week and not meeting my deadline again. And I had reached a point at that time that I wasn't sleeping. My body was so tired. I would get home at 6, 7 p.m. and I couldn't move anymore. I would just lay down on the couch and I couldn't even cook for myself. I had headaches all the time. My eye was twitching. This is a sign for me that I'm really stressed. There were other like physical signs going on that showed me, okay, I am really stressed. And other people saw it too. And I'm not sure if it was truly burnout, but I was definitely very close to it. So this was a big key moment for me that I realized I never want to be in that position again. So since then, I've been taking like my body signs a lot more seriously. If you always work harder and harder and harder and you lock yourself more and more into this tension and things then aren't flowing in your life, so the response to that is that you work even harder, you're making it really difficult for yourself and you get more tense with every attempt of you working harder. And so yes, this can lead to burnout, or it could lead to your relationships taking a hit because you become more irritable, or you are annoyed with every little thing that your partner does, or your family when they ask, when are you finally coming back? You just explode on the phone because you cannot have those questions anymore. Like, you're already so full. Or it can completely block your creativity and the mental space that you need to make clear decisions about your life. I speak a lot with expats who feel like they need to make another move and they don't know what they should do, but their life is so full and they're working so hard and they're always on and always thinking, always in their head. I'm like, yeah, of course it's going to be hard to think about your next move because all your energy is focused in your head and focus on working hard, 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 hard. You need to slow down. You need to take space for you to take better decisions. So here are some reasons of why it's important to become aware of a potential tendency of needing to work hard so that you can become aware of it in your daily life and stop it when it turns into something that isn't really working out for you anymore. So again, this tendency can be fantastic. You achieve great results, but it is a fine balance. All our qualities turn into our traps if we have too much of it. So you want to maintain that fine balance and being aware of if you have this pattern or not and how it shows up in your life and what your behavior around it is really helpful, because then in your daily life you can assess when it's a quality and when it turns into a trap. So being aware of it is key. So it's super important to be in touch with your body, because if you can recognize certain stress symptoms, this is a really easy tool to see if you are on the good side or more on the wrong side of this balance. Now, many of us live in their heads. We are walking heads. I was like that myself. I see so many walking heads around me that it can be difficult to be in touch with your body and to really recognize that. Because often when we feel something, we're just like, no, let's not make a fuss of it. Or we just override it with our thoughts subconsciously. I still do this sometimes. So building in a practice that helps you build that connection more with your body is really great for this as like a prevention mechanism in a way. You also want to be truly able to check in with yourself so that every time that you work harder, that you can really connect with yourself on a deeper level and ask yourself, am I doing this because I want to, because the need is really here, or because it's out of habit? Is it because I'm wired this way? And that can be hard to assess sometimes, because also for me, it wasn't always very clear, but this is also a good thing to check with yourself to maintain that fine balance. Now, what can you do about it if you constantly find yourself in this pattern of working harder? I need to work hard. I need to work harder. What can you do about it? Well, I would say that if you are in this period that I just described of like my autumn or that London experience where you've been in a period that you worked really hard and you're exhausted and this response of working harder has been taking a toll on you physically, mentally, emotionally, I would say pause. Take a step back and take a break, a part-time break maybe. I really did that and it was difficult for me last autumn. I realized, okay, I work too hard and it's taking a toll on me. Also my creativity and my strategic thinking, like I'm not, you know, I need more space. And I went against my nature, that's how it felt for me, by choosing only one thing that I would work on and focus on and everything else I was just gonna drop or pause. And what I realized that I had been doing, thanks to my amazing business coach, was that I would really use all my battery, my energy, till it was depleted. Then I would charge it a tiny bit, and then I would go for it again until it was depleted. I would need to charge it, etc., etc. And what I really needed to do was recharge that battery fully first, to then slowly go use that energy for work. Because that cycle that I was in, recharging, depleting, recharging, depleting, wasn't working out for me in the long term. So in that period of taking a part-time break, this is also how I called it and said it to everyone, I focused on one thing and that was my coaching. I continued all my existing coaching contracts and I also, you know, continued marketing on that. But everything else I dropped and I had to sit on my hands for it. So the moment I felt more energy and I had a bit of creativity again, I thought, ooh, let me record a podcast episode about it. Ooh, let me send out an email, because I was doing a lot of that stuff in autumn. And I really had to tell myself, no, one thing you're going to focus on, that's the coaching, and that email isn't coaching. So no, you're not going to do it. And I really had to force myself to sit on my hands and not do anything. But it worked out really well for me, because this is when I was able to recharge my batteries fully, you know, and do my work happily and also allow enough time and space to prepare for my move to Rio, because that's not something you can underestimate. And I wanted to do everything together at the same time. And I'm so happy I took a part-time break to really prepare well for that move, because I felt pretty relaxed going into the move. So if you find yourself in this period that you've worked really too hard, and I'm not talking about burnout, guys, like my autumn experience is far from burnout, I'm just really, you know, I'm really sensitive now, I'm picking so much up of how I feel and what I need, and I'm relatively pretty quick in meeting my needs. So it's not a burnout or anything, it's just a realization of like, ooh, maybe if I do this long term, it's not going to be good for me. So if you find yourself being tired after doing so much work, really carefully take a look of everything that you're doing and truly what needs to be done. So what is the real minimum that you need to do to keep the machine going? Whether that's the family machine, relationship machine, or at work, what is the true minimum? And really from an outsider's perspective, not from your perspective, because your bar is probably higher than what an outsider would think. Now, if you have decided that minimum, now that's the thing you're going to do, and everything else you're going to say no to. Let go of the rest. And another thing that I continuously do, it was in that period, but I still do it because I still have this tendency of working harder. So I just finished a long week here in Rio in my Airbnb. I've been here all week working so much on a new course that I'm launching in June, which I'm really excited about. It is about grounding yourself, making space in your life for better decision making, for feeling more present in your expat life. Because I've done so much work on it and I really want to share my knowledge with you guys. But I was ironically working hard on this last week and I had so many balls that I had to juggle in my head. And I felt this tendency again of like, ooh, I need to work harder. I just need to put in some extra effort. I just need to think harder. And then I always pause myself and I ask myself, how can it be easier? Because sometimes we are so stuck in our way of thinking, in our thinking of it needs to be more work or harder work, it's difficult, that we forget that things can also be easy. Sometimes we don't even accept it. Like I mentioned in the example of my coachee, because then it feels like luck, or we got it without doing anything for it, so it doesn't count. But don't forget to ask yourself this question. How can it be easy? How can I make this easier for myself? This is such a powerful question. So if you feel like you're stuck with a project or a relationship or just a personal goal, ask yourself this question. And another question that I ask myself is, how can this be more fun? Because we forget to have fun as well. We work hard and we play hard, but we forget that there can be more fun in the working hard. This can also be play, like it's not two separate things, which we often do see it that way, but we can infuse some fun in the hard work as well. So if you are going into a busy period at work because a deadline needs to be met, or it's like some sort of annual cycle going on, and I don't know, you need to work a bit more than the standard 9 to 5, and you're kind of you're getting ready for it, and you know it's going to be a time that's going to demand more of you, keep asking yourself, how can I make this more fun? So if you know you're going to be at the office from 8 till 8, can you add some fun vibes there? Can you take a break to put on some music and not do anything for 5 minutes, and maybe dance even if you can? Or can you start your day with a walk before going into the office? Or can you listen to a fun podcast that makes you laugh while you drive to work, or whatever? There are so many things that you can infuse in that period to make it more fun. Just don't forget to ask yourself this question. Okay, this has been quite a long episode as always. I always try to keep it brief, but when I start talking, you know, I'm really passionate about these topics, and I always love helping other people with the experience I had myself and the lessons I had to learn, and I love to pass them on so that we can all live our life in a nicer way, or that we feel happier, lighter, more confident, more calm going forwards. So yeah, thanks for listening till the end. If you have any questions around this topic, let me know. I'm always very happy to respond from my own experience or from what I know from my coaching practice. And if you feel like you know this tendency of working hard also very well, and you want to do some work on it, and you want to tackle the root causes, then know that you can book a free discovery call with me. So I offer these free discovery calls. They are 45 minutes, and they're really meant for my one-on-one coaching. And in that call, we'll get to meet each other, see if there's a match with us. But also we'll dive deeper into your situation, and I'm going to ask you questions. And 9 out of 10 times, this will lead you to new insights, new perspective, new thoughts. I always get that back from people. They say like, "Ooh, I never thought about it that way," or "I didn't realize it was because of that," etc. So my goal is always to really help you already in the discovery call. But it's also truly a way to see if your situation is even good for coaching, because maybe you need therapy, or maybe you need a mentor to, you know, that puts you more into action or something like that. So that call is really a nice way for us both to see if the coaching program is a good way for your situation and if I'm the right person. And also in the second half of June, my new course is coming out. And in this course, I will teach you ways to help you ground yourself in your expat life, so that you can become more present of what you feel, of what you think, of what you believe, so you can make better choices going forward that are really more aligned with who you truly are and what you truly want, so you can start living a global life that makes you really happy. All right, I'm leaving you to it. I wish you a wonderful day wherever you are, and talk to you soon again. Bye-bye.